We're going to be in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. We're going to talk about a topic that doesn't need much introduction. It's called healing. And we live in a world where we're just, it's just a broken place, and we get broken. We live in a world where people get sick and have to deal with COVID and have to deal with understanding what God wants and how does God love me in the middle of physical suffering or emotional suffering. And so we've been in this series on following Jesus and what does it mean to follow Jesus. And a big part of following Jesus is learning to heal. We talked about that when we come to Jesus, you can come and not know anything about him. If you come to him with even the smallest childlike faith, he always brings healing into your life. But then there's a deeper work of following him. And we all know that healing is something that's going to be part of our lives, all of our life, right? Like, it's not just heal me once and everything. It's like we're always going to need healing. And so we want to understand what is it, what's the heart of God in the midst of healing, and how do we reconcile that in times when it doesn't seem like God is answering our prayers for healing? So we're going to be in Matthew chapter 8, and there we have three stories of Jesus healing. And they're very different people with different situations, but there are some things about looking at that that God spoke to me that I want to share with you that will help us understand God's heart to heal us even as we're learning to heal and even as we're waiting to heal. So I think it's going to be a really powerful time. I wish someone would give me this sermon a long time ago so I could understand how God loves me, and yet still sometimes I'm not seeing the healing quite in the moment I want it. So that's what we're going to do today. So I hope it's going to be a powerful time for all of you. Matthew chapter 8. And as we do it, we're going to read three stories. And when we read these stories, I want you to focus on these three questions. As we're reading the stories, different people, but what are common themes in all of these stories? And then I want you to ask these questions. What can I tell? What is the ultimate healing Jesus wants in my life? What's the ultimate healing Jesus wants for my life? And then, what is, for lack of better, what's the partner? What's the thing God, Jesus always works when he works healing in my life? Always. It's going to be important now. And when we answer those two questions, this is where it's going to get really practical for all of us in the room. So Satan has a very predictable plan to keep me from following Jesus to the healing he wants in my life. Very predictable plan. And I want to encourage you that today is a day where God's going to show you how to defeat the plans of the enemy and walk in healing. Okay? Good to go? All right? Anybody ever need a healing in their life? I mean, am I talking to the right crowd? I mean, this is a topic that matters, right? Okay. Just checking. So we're going to be Matthew chapter 8. We're going to read three stories, verses 1 through 17. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along or just listen. Be thinking of these questions as we go through this time. So here we go. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him, and a man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and to a leper, touched the man and said, "I am willing. Be clean." Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift of Moses commanded as a testimony to them." That's the first story. Second one. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a Roman centurion came to him asking for help. That was probably a very interesting moment in that setting. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering." Jesus said to him, "I will go and heal him." The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was astounded and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to all of you who are following me that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside, those religious people who don't really understand my heart, into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed that very hour. Last story. When Jesus came into Peter's house, the disciple Peter, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her. And she got up and began to wait on him. When the evening came, many who were demon-possessed heard about the healing, were brought to him. He drove out the spirits with a word and healed the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities. He carried our diseases. Here's the word of the Lord. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As you're reading these stories, what strikes you as common? What are some themes in there? What are you seeing? Well, the first thing I see is this, that Jesus is always willing and able to heal. Always. Don't you love that first story? It's like, Jesus, if you're willing, you can heal me. And Jesus is like, absolutely. For the Roman centurion, he's like, I'll go. And he's like, well, you don't have to go. Just say the word. For the story of Peter's mother-in-law, we don't even know if she asked. We just know he's so willing, he goes over and he touches her, heals her. And then all these scriptures say all these people with all these sicknesses, they're healed. Jesus is willing. And sometimes we live in a world where we don't understand the timing and how God is going to heal. And so then we start wondering, does God even care? Well, if you ever have had a doubt, like, God, are you really willing? Do you care? Don't forget that the very last verse of that passage refers to what Jesus went through for your healing. Here it is, that reference in Isaiah 53. It was the very last thing he took on our infirmities to fulfill. Here it is. Here's how much Jesus is willing to bring healing into your life. Surely he took up our sickness and carried our sorrows. Where did he carry him? On the cross. Yet we considered him stricken by God. God, he's a failure. If God really cared for him, he wouldn't be going through pain and suffering. Smitten by him and afflicted. He must have done something wrong. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, and I think a lot of us could use some peace, was upon him. Read this with me out loud. And by his wounds we are healed. Hey, everybody. That's how willing God is to heal you. Don't you ever get confused. You may not understand, but don't you ever forget what Jesus went through so you could be healed. You know, I told a friend the other day, I said, you know, he's like, well, I don't know if God wants to heal me. I said, are you kidding me? After all he went through, you don't think he wants to give you the gift that cost him so much? So, you know, imagine if some guy like loved this, he wanted to restore this old car and he loved it so much and he spent like thousands of dollars and all this time. And he finally got it running, and then something was wrong, and it turned out it needed a spark plug. He's like, I don't want to pay it. It's like, are you kidding me? You just spent all that money, and you think that just like one little spark plug, he's not going to do it? Look what he gave already to make this car whole. Of course he's going to heal. Jesus did all of this. You think he doesn't want to heal? He is willing, and he is able. But if there is one other theme I see in all three stories, and it's actually a theme of the entire Bible, that we've got to put against this issue that he's always willing to heal and always able, you know what I notice as I read through those passages? I feel like this is the word of the Lord. I read those passages and said, Sean, you know what the greatest healing of all is? I said, what, God? He said, trust. Trust is the ultimate healing that Jesus wants for you. Does he want to heal cancer? Have I seen him do it? Yes. Have I seen him heal COVID? Yes, I have. You know, the healing he wants more for you than anything else, and it's the basis of every other healing in your life, it's this issue of trust. The leper, Jesus, if you want to heal me, if you're willing, I know you can do it. The Roman centurion, I trust you enough, you don't even got to show up at the house, just say the word. That family who is going to Peter, they're going to see Peter walk through persecution and opposition. What do they need? They need to see, they need trust, and that healing produces a trust in which just generates healing after healing after healing. Look, there are a lot of things the Lord is going to be faithful to do in your life. You know, the one healing that you and I need more than anything else, it's trust. Well, Pastor Sean, I'm pretty sure the ultimate healing is when I get saved. It's like, yeah, what do you need to get saved? It's called trust. The scripture's all about it all the time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Hebrews, the great chapter on faith. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. If I'm going to come to God, I got to believe he exists and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. I've got to trust him. And until you have the ultimate healing of trust in your life, I'm talking about trust in him, you will never experience the complete plans of healing God has for you in every other dimension of your life. God, you want me to believe for my marriage to be healed? You want me to believe for my child to be healed? You want me to believe that that relationship's going to be healed? You're going to have to trust him. Because he's going to take you in a way that says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not the thoughts, declares the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above yours. You're going to have to trust me to follow me to all the healing I have for you. And believe me, nobody, God speaking, nobody wants healing and freedom for you more than I do. I gave my son so that it would happen. And it's interesting because when you do have that gift of trust in your life, no other need for healing will have any power over you. Doesn't mean you don't need it, but it won't define you. I think of our elders, like Pat Hine, who is one of our elders, who when she went through months and months of being in the hospital and she was suffering physically and the doctor had no idea what was wrong, but she trusted the Lord the whole time. Like she was walking through a hard time, but you go in a room, it was like meeting with Jesus all the time. Because what her circumstances weren't her spirit. She was different. She had a different spirit in her. I think of Dick Coffin, our elder who went home to be with the Lord, was someone who prayed all the time for all of us in healing. And Dick, you know, he had this physically, it was a hard final few weeks all the way home, but what were his last words? Don't forget God. Like, I trust him. He's taking me home. My grandfather, who was healed of colon cancer after 3 major surgeries, and then the doctors gave him hours to live. You know what? The Lord healed him. My grandfather already trusted him whether he healed him or not. It's like, I know God's good, and if it's time to go home, it's time to go home. I'm just letting you know right now, trust is the thing that God wants to heal in your life. And it's the thing that Satan is after the most in you and me, right? I mean, if we're gonna be saved, we've got to confess our sins. We got to believe. We got to trust that he's faithful and he's just. He'll forgive us our sins and he'll purify us from unrighteousness. And I love that Jesus himself didn't just call us to healing, but he lived it out. Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2. When Jesus, what's that word right there? Suffered on the cross, he made no threats. Instead, what did he do? He trusted the Father in heaven, even while he was suffering on the cross. To him who judges justly, he himself bore the sins in his body on that cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Does this last verse sound familiar? By his wounds we have been healed. The beauty of the healing and all the different healings that God is going to do in our lives is on that foundation of trust. And I want to encourage you today. I know some of us are in some desperate situations. Some of us are pretty weary. I want you to hear today. If you'll just say, Lord, I want you to heal my trust. I want to be able to say yes to your heart for me. I know your heart in the middle of this. I may not understand, but I trust. You're going to see things happen like never before in your life. It's the greatest gift I could hope for you to have. But I want you to see, and what we're going to do at the end of this service, we're going to pray for healing in every aspect of what you need. I want you to begin to get your heart ready. You already heard the word today of what God wants to do. But I want you to see this, because this is going to be really important. Because God's healing is God's way and about God's things. It's about his priorities, right? Do you notice what all three of these stories also have in common? They're all about this issue of faith and trust. And here's the other thing. They're all about relationship. I mean, this leper, he can't have relationship with anybody until Jesus says, I'll have relationship with you right now, healing. Roman centurion, the oppressor in the middle of the oppressed community, being willing to say, hey, I need your help, asking for relationship with Jesus, and Jesus saying yes to it when he should, as the oppressed, say, you know what, there are plenty of other people I can help. I'm not helping you guys. That's about relationship. A mother-in-law, a family, witnessing healing within it, changing the center of what that family is about, and beginning to be strengthened for the journey that Peter's got to take. I want you to hear this. It's so important. Relationships are always involved with Jesus heals. I mean, after all, he is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He is relationship. He's about relationship. And when he moves, relationship happens. And so I want you to hear today, there are things in our life when God begins to move us and we're following him towards healing, he asks us to take steps of trust in right relationship. There's a relationship that should be there that there isn't. The person steps towards right relationship and healing happens. Or it's about Jesus heals and it strengthens right relationship for what's ahead. I want you to hear this. We live in kind of American society that says, my healing's about me, myself, and I. And I'm like, no, it's not. No, it's not. There's this bigger issue of relationship. And what church is supposed to be, why you're watching online or why we're here, why we worship God in two languages and enjoy it and embrace it, is because church is supposed to be a place where the relationships that God has always planned to happen, but the world can't figure out, they happen. So church is not a business. It's not an institution. It's not a nonprofit. Church is God's people learning to have right relationship. Why? Because they're healing. Because God's healing them. And healing is always connected to right relationship. And so I want to encourage you, as you are seeking God's healing and strength in your life, always take steps to right relationship. We do this thing called Keep Growing. And you can become a member if you come to it. It's kind of our first step at Cornerstone. You don't have to become a member, but you should still take this step. Why? Because this is about learn to have relationship at Cornerstone. Here, come and be part, be known, and let us know you and know what there is so that we can come together and let God's healing increase in us. And if you've not done that, I would say an important step for you to do today is sign up for this. You can just cornerstone.ag/connect. Or you can go out in the foyer if you're here and there's a table. Take a step in relationship. Because when you step in relationship, you move towards the healing that God wants for your life. But if we know these two answers, remember there's one more question. What's the predictable plan that Satan always uses to block you from following Jesus to the healing he's got planned for you? Because it's already done. Well, it's mistrust and division, the two things we just saw. Mistrust and division are Satan's plan to keep you from following Jesus to healing. It's a good thing that our entire society isn't based on these two right now. And yet, it keeps struggling and saying, we're going to heal. There's an answer. Not without these. If these two are in the mix, no, there's not. No, there's not. See, if you want to follow Jesus to healing, you're going to have to trust him. And when you trust him, even though you've been wounded in relationships, because you're with him, you learn to step in the right type of trust in relationships that in the past wounded you. But you got to have trust with him, else you'll never, ever go there based on the trauma or the pain you had in the past. A matter of fact, because you don't trust him, you're not hearing, that pain will only lead you to us versus them mentality. That's us versus them. Oppressor, oppressed, black versus white, rich versus poor, young versus old. I mean, you pick the paradigm. It's us versus them. And I'm telling you what, in the kingdom of God, what did Jesus say when he healed the servant of the centurion's of the centurion, he says, I tell you what, people from the east and the west and people you don't think are coming are part of my family. And if you want to live in the kingdom of God, you better get your mind straight about that one. Look, on a personal level, this next truth is probably one you should take a picture of. All right? As you search for your healing, the tragic irony is often that the Christian Satan has convinced you to abandon or devalue. Oh, I can't believe that Christian believes that. They support that. They do that. I can't believe all that. I mean, they're not perfect, but they are trying to follow Jesus. But I just can't believe anybody who would ever follow Jesus would believe or do or support that. I can't believe that. And so I'm not going to value them. I'm not going to connect with them. They don't have any value to me. I'm telling you, that's the person who's connected to your healing. And if you don't trust God, you'll never walk through this relationship the right way to find it. Feeling that? Are we feeling that? It's important. I'm telling you what, as a spiritual dad right now, this is good stuff. This is how the kingdom works, not how religion works. This is about saying, Lord, help me to understand how to be part of making right relationship, whether it's personal or whether it's in community. Don't believe me? Isaiah 58, is not this the kind of fasting God wants, the kind of worship, the kind of devotion to him? To loose the chains of injustice, to make relationships right in the community, to have people treat each other with the equality that comes not from man's version of who's right or wrong, but that in the image of God, we're all following him and worshiping him and respecting each other the right way. Not just in our community, here's a personal relationship, and not turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then you do this, you start recognizing what I want to do in relationship and trusting me there, then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Done. That's not Pastor Sean, that's the word of God. When we walk in right relationship, healing comes. Healing comes. So I want to encourage you. We're in a society right now that's got all sorts of not biblical and not Jesus-centered movements of saying, this is how we're going to heal. I'm telling you what, no, you're not. Not going to happen. Not going to happen in mistrust and bitter division, us versus them. We've got to be able to come to the cross together and say, Lord, your will, your way, your healing. Teach us to love one another the way you've loved us. That's the challenge of this day. And the American church is either going to rise or it's going to fall based on this call. Based on it. Now, at our church, on a local church level, you know, we've really seen all the strife. And it's confusing. It's like, well, that's saying, I mean, of course I agree with Black Lives Matter. I mean, of course, every life matters, okay? Yeah, check out the theology, though. That's actually based on critical race theory. And that really is about oppressed, oppressor, and the oppressed is always the most right. It's like, no, the oppressed is always who we need to hear the most. But the authority of morality is not according to the oppressed. The issue of morality is based on God's word. So super different, super different. Do we need to respond to the cry of Black Lives? Absolutely. Is that movement going to be the source of our healing? Absolutely not. Christian nationalism. God bless America. You know, just God, 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 Jesus. It's all about our democracy. It's like, okay, that's great. Is that going to heal us? No. We don't worship democracy or a constitution or stuff like that. Look, we've got to follow Jesus, and we've got to learn to embrace his version of relationship, and healing would happen all the time. So what we're trying to do at Cornerstone is not try to only talk about it when the news talks about it, because God's been talking about this from the beginning. So what we're praying for, and we're hoping that you want to be part of, is this thing for right now we're calling the Isaiah 58 movement. And what we're saying is, let's have a constant conversation outside of the news cycle about what Jesus and the Word of God has always said is his passion in equality, in justice, in healing, and reconciliation. And with Christians who are opposite of us, let's learn to have the discussions that lead to healing. Because the healing's probably in them. The one I want to devalue most is the one I need to hear from the most. Whew. Pastor, I don't know if I can do that. You're right. You can't do it and neither can I. But Jesus in us can do it plenty. Are we spirit-filled or are we not? Come on. Let's let the Spirit of God lead us to where we need to go. So if you go to cornerstone.ag/connect, you say, hey, I want to be part of that conversation. We're not even exactly sure what it's going to look like yet, but we just sense the Lord wants to do something so special. Healing going to appear, and we want to be part of it. That's why every Sunday, whether we're singing in Spanish or thinking about the older generation, the younger generation, thinking about different cultures and what's on each other's hearts, come on, this is what God does. He brings people together. He heals. And I want to encourage you, sometimes like, oh, that I need healing and this issue is bothering me, so I'm not going to deal with it. It's like, no, that issue is probably what will lead to your healing. And let the Lord do the rest. I told this story at Easter a few years ago. Anybody know who this guy is? This is the great Blondin. In the 1850s, he just shocked America by doing all these tightrope walking over Niagara Falls. And he was a super showman, and after a while, his crowd started to dwindle, so he had to, like, pick up his game, right? And so the story goes, he's like, hey, come this next week, you're going to see something that you're never going to believe. And everybody shows up at Niagara Falls, and here he is, he's walking, and he walks across, everybody's like, woo, and he walks backwards. Right? And he gets there and he said, I'm going to go over again. I'm going to do it blindfolded. Do you believe I could do it? Like, yeah, we believe. We believe. Do you believe I'm the great? Yeah, we believe you're right. He does it blindfolded. Comes back again. He's like, do you believe I can do anything on a tightrope? And they're like, yeah, we believe. He says, do you believe that I can take a person on my back and walk them across safely and walk them back? Yeah, we believe. He's like, all right, who's volunteering? Story goes, this is his assistant, because no one believed that much. No one believed that much. Only the guy got paid to believe was on his back. Now look, Jesus saying, follow me, I can get you to where you never could believe. I can get you over these waters. I can get you over this danger. I can get you to the other side. I can bring healing. I can bring wholeness. Do you believe? Yeah, Jesus, we believe. All right, put your whole life on me and believe and trust me. Whoa, I don't know if I want to do that. That's the only type of trust God knows. That's what Jesus himself did on the cross for you. Complete trust in the Father's will. I want to encourage you today, don't settle. Don't settle for religion. Say, God, heal my heart to trust you. and healing will happen like you've never known before. I just want to ask you today, are you willing to ask for that? Are you willing to say, all right, Lord, I'm yours. On your back, take me where you want to take me. And maybe today, maybe the words recognize. Would you recognize that you've been embracing the very enemy of God's healing in your life? Oh, those people. Lord, I don't want you to judge me, but I'm sure judging them. Like, healing doesn't happen here. Now, I'm not saying you got to be perfect. Like, I love the story, the one story of the father who brings his son to Jesus to be healed. And Jesus say, and you know, he's like, if you can help my son, please do. And Jesus is like, if I can. Like, all things are possible to him who believes, who trusts. And what does the father say? The father says, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Like, I'm trying to believe. So if that's you today, that's fine. Just come to him and say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help my trust issues, God. And I especially think for the one who's experienced trauma in the past. I mean, what's the rule after trauma? It's like, I'm in control from now on. No one's doing that to me again. So what is the person who's experienced trauma? What's usually their issue? They usually control everything because they don't ever want to be out of control again in their life. But what's the problem with that? That means the only person you trust is you. So you got to be able to come to a father in heaven and say, Lord, you know some of the nightmares and the pains of my past. You know I don't want to relive any of that stuff. But God, like, I can't be in control either. Like, I've got to follow you. And I tell you what, the number one mistake people who have experienced pain in the past make is they try to control their own healing. And I'm telling you what, it does not work. It doesn't work. You got to say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to submit to you and follow. I'm just going to stay close to your word. And I'm going to enter this healing process with people who are willing to be accountable to you. Not me, you. And when you enter into that, your healing quickly appears. I think one question you should ask yourself all week long is this. Am I acting and thinking like I trust God right now? Am I thinking like I trust in God's goodness? Or am I saying, no, I've got to be the one to make sure this turns out good? God will be faithful. And we can't today, this has got to end in not just great sermon, Pastor Sean. No. God, I'm hearing you speak to me today. Heal me in the most important place today. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand with me, and we just got a few minutes left, and come on. I'm telling you what, if you'll let the Lord do the ultimate healing in you today, if you'll open up your heart and say, I trust you. Some of you today, this is your day to say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Some of you, it's like, Lord, no matter what's happened in the past, I trust you today. I give you control. I just can't tell you how much the Father wants that for you today, because he knows where to take you and how to get you there. So would you begin to pray? I'm going to ask Pastor Brian if you just lead us in that hymn, Is So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. And I want to encourage you, don't just listen. As much as you can, sing the words yourself this morning. Say, God, this is my prayer. I'm choosing to trust in you. And then we're going to pray for healing in this place.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to to trust Him more.
If there's a healing that you need in your body, if there's a healing you need in your heart today, if there's a healing you're believing for a relationship, I'm going to ask you right now to trust Him and just show that by lifting your hands to the Lord, saying, Lord, I trust You. I'm asking You to heal me, starting in the most important place. Lord, I just thank You right now. I just sense the work of Your Spirit in this place. I'm going to ask You as we're praying, don't focus on me, focus on Him. Just come to Him like that first man who said, Lord, if You're willing, You can heal me today. Would You tell him that right now? Lord, I trust You, dear God. I'm giving You all that I am, whether it's in my body, whether it's my relationship, whether it's my emotions and the scars of the past. Right now, I give them to You. I trust You this morning. Just tell Him You trust them this morning. Lord, we are Yours. Everybody online, the Lord is able to speak that word. He is with you in that place right now. Lord, bring healing into homes. People are listening to this for the first time. People have never even met You before, but they heard that we're praying for healing, and here they are. Lord Jesus, meet with them right now. Show them Your love. Show them Your power. Lord, we're praying for families right now who need a healing, whether it's physically, whether it's in relationship, whether it's emotionally. We're praying right now. You are the God who healeth thee. You're the God who heals. And You went to the cross to bring that healing to us. And we believe that nothing of this world can keep us from it, but that You are faithful. Heal our hearts, dear God, and keep us from bitterness. Lord, we thankful that people want to find equality. They want to find reconciliation. But Lord, it's got to be Your way. And Lord, forgive us if You're not the first source of what we believe will heal this community. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Jesus, we believe that You're willing. We believe that You're able. And we believe that You want us to trust You. Lord, You said unless we had the trust of a child, we couldn't enter the kingdom. Lord, this world so much about be jaded, be cynical, be on your guard. Lord, not with You. You gave Your Son on the cross for us. We trust You. Holy Spirit, right now, come. I'm just going to ask you to repeat a prayer after me this morning. Would all of you just, would you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, I believe You are my healer. I give You my heart. I give You my past. I give You my relationships. I give You this world. Lead me. Guide me. Heal me. I trust in You.